Welcome everyone to Good Night and Good Game, your source for geek news for the week that was. I'm your host James, and with me as always is my wonderful co-host Hector.
Hello.
And this week on the show, after the news, we want to talk about the cost of making games. You know, thanks to the head of Capcom making some statements.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to talk about it. But before we start, don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg, where as a patron of our show, you can suggest topics for us to talk about. Also, as a patron, you get access to our off-week episodes. We're going to finish recording our last couple martial arts episodes here soon. We were going to do it today, but Overwatch playoffs are happening.
Yeah.
And so we were watching that. And so we will get that recorded probably next week, and that way we can get all the martial arts stuff out, because we have a lot of spooky season stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We watched a fantastic movie last night. It was a blast.
Yeah.
So yeah, with all that out of the way, it's time for The Prelude.
Prelude.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Prelude. It is time to dive into what we've been up to this week, what we've been playing, what we've been watching, what's been occupying our free time, and what has been making us happy. Hector, what do you got for me?
Oh man, so I have been playing The Lies of P. The Lies of P is very, very good. It feels as polished of a Souls-like as stuff that From Software.
This is a Souls-like specifically about Pinocchio.
Correct, yes. They needed some public property to make a Bloodborne about.
Yep.
They picked Pinocchio. They're doing such a fantastic job. They're turning Wishing Upon a Star into a game mechanic. You know, your lantern has a cricket inside.
That's cute. I love
that. That's Jiminy. He talks to you.
Wow.
It's great. There's so much personality to this game and so much cool shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole dichotomy between being a puppet and a real boy,
mm-hmm.
Where, like, puppets can't lie. But you can, and like there are different ways to increase your humanity, which doesn't seem like a real game mechanic.
Right.
It's more of just a thing that's going on with mm-hmm. your character at the time, depending on the decisions you make. Anyway, very Souls, very cool, very obtuse, and like you have to get into it. You should experiment with your weapons. You should, you know, mix and match abilities. You should mm-hmm. try out new things, because it's just very cool like that.
All right.
Can't get enough of it. I've also been playing Titanfall 2. Titanfall 2 is back, everybody. Titanfall 2 is back.
Out of nowhere, from the top row, Titanfall 2 is back.
Titanfall 2, just like, made by the creators of Apex Legends mm-hmm. and Titanfall, Respawn Entertainment, the creators of the Modern Warfare franchise that everyone loves so much that it is the behemoth that it is now. Titanfall 2 is back. It came out something like 6-7 years ago. And, you know, it was great, and everyone loves the game. It's a great speedrunning game. It has one of the best levels of first-person shooting ever made. That has, a time travel mechanic. It's fucking incredible. And the multiplayer was amazing, but it got ruined by hackers, and EA took Respawn off of it because they wanted them to make something else. So they just...
Well, they wanted them to make Apex,
they wanted to make,
right?
Apex.
They wanted a battle royale of their own.
Right, they wanted a battle royale to fight Fortnite, and they made one, and that is still competing with it to this day. And all of the mechanics, the weapons, the world, everything came from Titanfall.
Right, right. And that's all the really cool running mechanics and mm-hmm. like the parkour of it all, really. Like, it all comes from Titanfall.
It all comes from Titanfall. So anyway, so Titanfall 2 multiplayer, basically the one with the Titans and the dropping of Titans and the just some of the best Twitch shooting multiplayer you will ever play. It's back. They updated the servers. They resolved the cheating issues.
Right.
And thousands and tens of thousands of players are now flooding in to play some more Titanfall 2. And I'm doing it, and it's great. It's still the best multiplayer you can play today as far as, like, PvP goes.
This definitely has the internet asking questions, by the way. They're just like, why would you update this game out of nowhere? Question
yeah.
mark?
No, Respawn is trying to do a Valve and trying to play an ARG with their hints.
Right.
But we're pretty sure they're dropping another Titanfall here before long.
Love it. Excited to hear it. I do need to play Titanfall 2.
You
it was
do.
On my playlist for a long time. I
it's
just never got around
good.
To it.
It's on Steam. It goes on sale regularly. When this update dropped, it went on sale on Steam for $3.
Oh, wow.
Best $3 you could possibly
spend.
Well,
then there you go.
Yeah.
Cannot recommend enough. Let's see, on my side of the world, what have I been doing? Well, Armored Core 6, played it, beat it several times, loved it. From Software, absolutely amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Picked up Resident Evil 4 because it was on sale. Finished the first chapter of that. Going to play a lot more this weekend. I just didn't have a whole lot of time this week, but had a good time with that. You and I have been playing a game called Monster Train.
Yeah, Monster Train.
It's a roguelike card game where you play the forces of hell trying to defeat the forces of heaven. It's fun. If you like Slay the Spire, it's your jam.
Yep.
I've been watching a lot of horror movies because it's spooky season. Not just the ones we've been watching together, but I've also been going on Shudder about once a night.
Oh, yeah.
Picking something at random and just watching it. And mostly it's things that have the label of like Shudder Original by it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, there has been some wild stuff that I have watched.
Absolutely.
So Shudder, again, your fucking streaming service of choice when it comes to all things horror. And they are just killing it right now with all of their horror selections, all the stuff that is like just like Shudder specific.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic. All of it worth your time. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, while neither of us have watched it because it literally dropped today, Castlevania came out today. Nocturne has dropped.
Yeah.
Stop everything and watch Castlevania.
Oh, yeah. Oh, before you wrap up, I also have one that I would be upset if I didn't mention. Nobody Will Save You is a movie on Hulu. It is a movie where it's a spooker. It's PG-13. It is about an alien invasion. There are some like if you were scared of aliens as a kid rather than something like ghosts or goblins or Freddy or Jason, This is the movie for you. These are some scary fucking aliens in the absolute best way. Like, this is good shit. I can't recommend it enough. Nobody Will Save You on Hulu.
Love that. And that's everything that we have for the prelude. Stick with us as we get into this week's geek news and the weekly raid.
The Weekly Raid.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. It is time for the Weekly Raid, your roundup of this week's geek news. Kicking things off this week, the Hollywood writer's strike has tentatively been resolved,
mm-hmm.
With the Writers Guild of America saying that they've reached an acceptable agreement that has finally come to pass after 146 days.
Yeah. Yikes. Imagine if they had just agreed to all of the higher demands they made than they did 186 days ago.
Yeah, it is absolutely wild to think about.
They could have saved themselves $8 billion.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah. And let's not mince fat, and we are a fact-based podcast here, but I just want to just talk about this for a second, just as personal opinion. This really came down to, and nobody said it, but like, it's been going on long enough that you know that Hollywood is starting to feel the brunt of the strike.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big part of it. And so that's probably what happens. They're like, oh, man, we are losing content every day that we're not like meeting demands.
Yep.
Here we go. So, yeah, that was the strike. Now, that being said, the SAG-AFTRA voice actors have approved a video game strike because they're looking for better protections against exploitative uses of AI, better safety precautions while they are on set, and higher wages that will account for inflation. And that's for video games, y'all.
No, that's good. Yeah, we need that. They also need, like, I would love, like, actors, voice actors and mocap actors to see some profits if the game is, you know, a fucking huge success.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see some
Let's get some residuals. Let's do all of that stuff. So we don't often talk about other podcasts on our show, but I thought this one was worth mentioning. Audible is launching a new podcast series called Slayers, a Buffyverse Story.
Ooh.
The group behind the absolutely amazing We're Alive podcast. And We're Alive, by the way, is one of the first podcasts I ever listened to because it wasn't a podcast. It was basically just like, it was just a story. It's a zombie outbreak story. But that's Casey Whalen and all them. And they've been doing it as long as like the word podcast has been around.
Yeah.
Is how long We're Alive has been going. But yeah, they're producing it. And many of the actors from the Buffy show are going to be coming back to reprise their roles.
Love that.
So it's all the Buffy, but without the influence of Joss, which is pretty much all people want.
Joss, probably no what's his ass. Also,
yeah,
who like anybody, turned out to be a sex
pest. Anybody that's questionable,
yeah,
out of it at this point. But we know Spike's coming back, Cordelia's coming back, like all of the big names. Amber Benson's going to be coming back. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. So if you love you some Buffy, want to hear it on podcast form, absolutely Slayers, a Buffyverse Story. It drops on October 12th.
Sweet.
The head of Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan, has announced that he's retiring. He's been part of the Sony family for over 30 years, and it's under his leadership that helped PlayStation form into the entity that it is today.
Yeah, think about what PlayStation 30 years. Like PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Like think about.
He's been a part of Sony before the PlayStation was even a thing.
How many times he has successfully made Sony the number one console in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Like out of five, I'm pretty sure it's three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wild.
His biggest win and the one that he had the most. Hand in was the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 era. That's mm-hmm. the time where he was at the top making most of the decisions.
Yeah,
but his name has been going around the industry for a long time. I knew his name even before he was the head of Sony because he was basically kind of the head of Sony even when he wasn't the head of Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of warmth going around the industry in a time where a lot of people can get online and be very toxic about stuff. You had somebody like the head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, come out and just make some heartfelt posts about how much he loves Jim Ryan and how he's so happy for... you know, Jim Ryan's contributions to the video game industry.
Yeah.
A lot of really good stuff. And it was just very nice to read.
Yeah. And I'm glad he can retire. Like he doesn't have to like sit there forever. Like, you know, he can go do his own thing, enjoy his life. He has contributed greatly to a thing I very much enjoy.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, last podcast, we talked about the horrible things that the company Unity was planning on doing mm-hmm. to charge game developers even more for using their engine. We're going to do an update to that. Since then, Unity has issued a public apology to game developers and has actually rolled back most of its proposed changes to their billing structure.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I want to get personal for just a second here. Hector, they rolled things back and they said, oh, it's only going to be the 1% that's going to be charged for all of this stuff. But do you think this is a little too late?
I mean, 100 million. 100%. Like the fact that this got out to the public at all is awful. The fact that they announced it feels suicidal, or at least, you know, stock market manipulate-y.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It is a fact that before this announcement was made, many of the heads of Unity did in fact sell stock.
That's right. Yes, they did. It feels like a thing that they did to load their pockets with cash because they're basically... they have basically tanked the company. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anyone would ever think about Unity when they're starting a new project ever again. What if they just decide, again, hey, wait, y'all owe us a bunch of money we just made up.
Yep.
Like, what? No. They can apologize till they're blue in the face. This apology feels like... that, I don't know, man. I don't want to equate it to anything and get, like, you know, get the equation wrong. It's gross. It's, you know, when someone tells you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am with
that is exactly right what now. This is. That is exactly what has happened here. And yeah, it's kind of wild to think about because, I mean, Unity was up until 2 weeks ago, the gem, the darling of the video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
And now we look at this and we're just going, what the heck? Like, you know, we have this very small game engine called Godot. It's been around forever, not mm-hmm. as long as Unity have, but it's kind of the indie of the indie game engines.
Oh, yeah.
And Godot came, like, the heads of the company came out and they were like, hey, if you lost your job at Unity, why don't you come, like, we'll pay you to come, like, not even work for us.
No.
Just help contribute to our projects. We'll pay you to help you to contribute to our projects. And whenever you find work, go. But we want to help pay you in the meantime.
Yeah, Godot is an, for important content, Godot is an open source game engine. It is free to developers and it is contributable to by game engine developers, much like anything on GitHub that is that way. So what they're saying is like, hey, we can pay you guys if you want to come improve our engine since you know how to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then go with God. But we're trying to make it so that there is an engine for everyone that is free, that is good.
Yep.
Will you help us? This is a beautiful thing. And this is why I like humanity.
Yeah. There are sometimes some good news.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think at this point, just as a personal opinion, I don't think anybody's going to go back to Unity at this point.
No.
I think people who currently are building things in Unity will build it in Unity. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of game developers, when they get done with their current launch of games, they're going to look at this and go, yeah, I'm going to swap something else.
Yeah, no, and I'm pretty sure Unity will have to go through a rebrand before they can get any
public. Yeah, they're going to have to get the fucking CEO out. But, yeah. I mean, he's taking the money and running. That's all he cared about.
Oh, yeah, there's no way he's still CEO in a month.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
But I didn't think he planned on being, you know what I mean?
I mean, he did sell his stock, so it says that at least.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Bill Willingham, the creator of the wildly popular comic Fables, put his series, his intellectual property in the public domain. Mm. The reason that he did this is because he is no longer making money off the thing that he created. Neither Warner Brothers / DC paid him for licensing his creation, and that includes the wildly popular Fables Telltale series.
Oh, yeah.
So when he got no residuals from the thing that he created, he had at least enough ownership to be able to walk down and say, all right, guys, it's in the public domain now. If I don't make money off of it, nobody can.
That's right. Or, yeah, fuck, man. That's a baller move. That's a really baller move. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. That is, big Taylor Swift energy. Love to see it. You know, just take back ownership of the thing that you created. Love it. Yeah, absolutely. It's so insane to me because that Telltale game from the Fables series, Wolf Among Us?
Yes, Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us, yeah. Fucking fantastic. Excellent game. Loved it from start to finish. Mm-hmm. He should have made some money off of that. You know, he's not like... Sapkowski over here going like, I didn't make enough money off The Witcher 3. Right. No, he's literally like, I didn't get a dime from someone making a thing that I made. You know what I mean? So, I love this move for him. And I hope a lot of people just start to create a ton of really great content with the cool world he made. Because it's very cool.
Yeah, the world of Fables is absolutely fascinating. If you've never had a chance to read the comics, I highly suggest picking them up. At this point, pirate them. I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. Just pirate them because he's not making money off it. So pirate them. Fables, absolutely fantastic. And it really sucks because it is such a fascinating universe. And for him not to be able to make a living off of something that he's poured his life into. Mm-hmm. Bro.
Yeah, straight up.
Netflix is all in on animation. Obviously, we just talked about Castlevania earlier. Yeah. But they just announced an anime adaptation of the Capcom game franchise, Onimusha.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome.
The trailer for Capcom's Devil May Cry anime adaptation just dropped a few days ago. Now, Hector, you are more intimately familiar with Onimusha than I am. Please tell me why people should be fucking excited about this.
Okay, so Onimusha is a series where you play as a samurai and you fight all of the fucking Japanese demons that hell can throw at you. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. There's a lot of magic. There's a power fantasy to it. There's a lot of very cool lore. Just when you think about Capcom series and you think about, obviously it's Konami when it's Castlevania, but when you think about what these studios have done with video game properties and anime versus something like live action adaptations or movies, it's the best it's ever been. Castlevania was the best it's ever been when it was the Netflix anime. And I haven't even seen the new one yet, but that old one captures everything so perfectly. League of Legends of Arcane captured that video game space so perfectly. There's whatever else you want to say about Netflix, and there's a lot to fucking say. Whoever's running the animation department who decides what projects they pick and what studios get to make them has their fucking finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. They get it. And I can't wait for more Netflix anime. Like between Arcane and Edgerunners and Castlevania, you have some of the absolute best animated series coming out of anything resembling the Western world. Mm-hmm. At all in the last 5 years.
And it's really interesting to me because as somebody who grew up watching a lot of classic American animation, but also very deeply rooted in being a weeb when I was younger. Mm-hmm. One of the things I always loved about anime when I was a kid, because I grew up with things like Vampire Hunter D or Hellsing, was I always loved the idea that like animation wasn't just for kids. Mm-hmm. Like I got to see stuff that was animated, but was darker.
Yeah.
And we are getting that now. We're getting this rise of like, we're taking these video game adaptations and we're not making them PG, bud.
Yeah. And I haven't even mentioned fucking Love, Death, and Robots.
Right.
Or Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. Or like the there's so much incredible animation that Netflix is investing in. And for aside from everything else that I like and dislike about the company, this is a very good thing. And I love that they're doing more of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I am very excited for Onimusha. I'm very excited for Devil May Cry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
ready to watch Castlevania.
I can't wait to watch more Castlevania.
If I didn't have to edit a show tonight, I'd be watching Castlevania.
Damn right.
That is my weekend project aside from watching the Overwatch, The playoffs,
finals, man. Yeah,
the finals playoffs. Are this weekend.
We're doing it. It is the end.
Well, we did have the Houston Outlaws did not have a good day today, so yeah. We'll see how that goes. All right, getting back to the news. The UK regulator, the Competition and Markets Authority, CMA, has provisionally approved Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. This was one of the final pieces stopping the transaction from going through. So it sounds like Microsoft will own Activision Blizzard King soon. Mind you, if you've been following the show for a while, we've been doing a segment for a very, very long time saying, Blizzard, are you okay? And every week the answer has been no. Mm-mm. But we've always said that we're hoping that Microsoft buys them because we need some shit fixed.
Yep.
We are so close to this happening.
Yeah. It's been a long time. It's been a wild ride. A whole Starfield came out.
Whole Starfield came out in that time.
Yeah.
There was other news today that I think you were saying earlier, the FTC is going back.
Yes, correct. The FTC has reopened its complaint about this deal in the United States. It doesn't seem likely that it will be able to stop the deal at this point. We're not even sure that their complaint would halt the deal going through at this time. So, I mean, they opened it back up, but we all know it's not a monopoly, and we all know the whole thing was just about
Call of Duty. It was just about Call of Duty.
So, whatever they're doing, it seems a little too late, and the FTC needs to go after
actual
monopolies like Amazon.
Yeah, I want to take a moment, because when we talked about the entire trial of Microsoft versus the FTC for the acquisition of Activision Blizzard King, one of the things that we pointed out, and you know, we had a great response from our listeners saying that, you know, we didn't realize that this case was just about Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. We assumed it was about being a monopoly. We assumed it's about all these things. No, it was about none of those things. It was literally Sony going before court. It was about Microsoft going before a court and saying, we solemnly swear that we will put Call of Duty on a PlayStation even though we're buying the company.
Right.
And they signed a contract that said, yes, for however amount of time, Call of Duty is coming to the PlayStation. And then all of a sudden, people got really shocked when the announcement came out that the next Elder Scrolls game isn't going to be coming to the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, why would Bethesda, ever do that? They're owned by Microsoft.
Bro, they told you get Call of Duty. They did not specify anything else.
You're not getting Starfield. You're probably not getting, you know, Wolfenstein or Doom. This is what we did.
Yeah.
This was a big acquisition.
If this, like we said back then, this case was not about a monopoly. This case was about Sony saying, make sure that Call of Duty can be on our console still. Yep. And that's what
that's what they get.
It is the deal with the devil. You made a very specific deal with the devil. You didn't specify the other terms of the agreement.
Yep.
And they're like, yep, you get Call of Duty.
Yep. Sony knows that, but fans seem to be surprised because, I don't know, they don't think things through when they get angry.
Yep. Welcome to the internet. Mm-hmm. The heads of Insomniac Games, the creators of the wildly successful Spider-Man franchise, talked a bit about how they handle remote work in a time where many companies are forcing their employees to go back to the office.
Boo.
And honestly, straight up, they have said that remote work is not only supported by PlayStation, but they will continue to have remote work as they have in fact seen that it is, quote, super productive.
Yep. Absolutely super productive.
We have an entire Spider-Man game about to come out, Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
That was made basically entirely during the pandemic.
Yeah, entirely from home. And from all previews and everything that anyone has seen, this game is fucking phenomenal. We'll find out. The review embargo drops on October 16th. Game comes out October 22nd. But
everyone who's played the 3-hour preview,
the game has said, you know what you're getting. If you played the last one and that game of impeccable quality, this is that, but more of it. You will love it. There's more New York. There's more Spider-Mans.
There's more Miles.
There's more Miles. There's more powers. There's more gadgets. There's so many more costumes.
Right.
This is everything you want from this game. Mm-hmm. Made entirely from home in less time than it took to make the first one. Mm-hmm. This is good shit.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a lot to be learned.
Set the standard. Set the precedent. Make that money and show everybody that this kind of work, when managed properly, and we are going to be coming back to those words, managed properly soon, can be a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Very, very good thing.
With the heads of Insomniac were talking about it, and they were like, well, why do you do things the way that you do? And they're, well, A, our games are wildly successful. Mm-hmm. B, we've won all the awards.
Yep.
C, and literally the head of Insomniac said this, people have lives.
Yeah, if only.
I don't have the exact quote because I didn't know we would get this deep into it, but it was something along the lines of people have lives. We have families and children and things to do during the day. Mm-hmm. What matters at the end of all of this to them is the quality of the work that is submitted.
Right.
And the quality of work that is submitted to the managers is, oh, wait, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Spider-Man hasn't even come out yet, and people are already starting to say the words game of the year.
Yep.
And that's in a year that is the best year for video games that we've ever had.
Yeah. And a very, very long time. This, but like 2008 and 2016, like, are to shame already with the games that we've had this year. And that includes both the remakes and the new IP. And there's been a lot of good new IP.
We're talking about the fact that a remake of Dead Space came out this year and got like tens across the board.
Oh yeah.
And like everybody was like, holy shit, Dead Space, have you played it? And it probably won't even like be on most people's radars
right
when it comes to Game Awards time.
Right.
By the way, that's a couple months away, and we are going to live stream the Game Awards when it happens again, like we do every year. So please join us in chat while we watch the Game Awards live with you.
Yeah, we had a Resident Evil 4. We had Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
We've had Baldur's Gate 3.
Armored Core.
Armored Core, which we've both played at least twice.
Yep.
Yeah, this has been an embarrassment of riches this year. We had a whole Resident Evil 4 remake that James is playing that everyone fucking loves that just dropped more DLC.
And like, for a reasonable price?
For a very reasonable
price. It apparently is great. And here's the thing about it, and this is just a personal thing because we are talking about working from home. The thing that nobody seems to be saying is that all of these games that are getting perfect scores, we're saying that 2023 is the best year in gaming that has ever happened in the history of gaming. All of these games were made from home.
Yep, every one of them.
These are all pandemic games. Mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate was being worked on by the team at Larian while everybody was doing the pandemic. They're like, yep, got to program me some D&D. Let's go. Oh, you know what? I have some extra time today. I'm going to like just make the most flamboyant vampire boy that everybody's going to want to sleep with.
Okay, so I made this vampire, but like... I do have the extra time since I'm at home and I didn't commute. I'm going to figure out what yassification means, and I'm going to do that to this vampire. I'm going to yassify this vampire by about 9,000%.
Everybody's going to want to fuck this vampire.
Yep.
And also, I'm going to tell my entire team over Slack or whatever it is they use, hey, everyone... Let's make everybody super horny in this game because have you met D&D players?
Yeah, this game did horny characters the way Cyberpunk did dildos when it launched. Yep. Like, every shelf is just sex scenes, and that's good.
That's how it should be. So yeah, working from home, it helps. All right, we're almost wrapped up with the news. A number of Bethesda games were revealed to be in the works due to, we were just previously talking about, the whole FTC versus Microsoft court case. A bunch of documents got leaked.
Yep.
A lot of these documents, by the way, everybody kind of flipped out about them because it says like, oh, like there's going to be a Dishonored 3. Oh, there's going to be a Fallout 3 remaster.
Right.
Yes, those things are confirmed. And Phil Spencer kind of came out and said, yes, but...
Right, these were our plans, what, 3 years ago?
Those documents are years old at this point. You know, Redfall was supposed to be such a big deal in those documents.
Yeah, those documents are from like 2020, guys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, there are things to get excited about. Yes, I do want Arkane to make fucking Dishonored 3.
God,
yes,
that would be so great.
I'm down for a remaster of Fallout 3. That's fine. Let's go ahead and do it. But
New
like,
Vegas.
But like, understand that like all of these plans, all the shit that it got leaked in air quotes, it's all brief. It's all... You know, a lot of these things have changed since then. They showed off like a new console, like... in that information. Mm-hmm. And where everybody's trying to like dissect the console information. Like, oh, well, it's going to be, you know, a diskless system, but it's going to cost as much as the current system. And it's all this, it's this. And it's like, people have had time to pivot since then.
Yeah.
Like, just stop with the rumor and speculation. Wait until Microsoft announces something because they know that you know about this paperwork.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for the next big thing. They're either waiting for next year's E3 or they're waiting for the Game Awards. They're waiting for the time of a big announcement to make these drops happen. don't assume that this leaked document is what is absolutely 110% what's coming out there.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yep. All right, that's everything we have for the news this week, but stick with us as we get into our main topic in the Boss Room.
Boss Room.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. This is the Boss Room, our main topic for the week, sometimes related to the news, sometimes not. This week, the president of Capcom opened up about the current cost of video games, saying that current game prices are too low. Quote, personally, I feel the game prices are too low. Development costs are around 100 times higher than they were in the days of the Famicom or the NES.
No fucking shit.
And this is the Japanese head of Capcom. Mm-hmm. But the price of software hasn't risen so much. Just as the recession doesn't stop people from going to the cinema or to their favorite artist concerts, high quality games will continue to sell well. So, this is going to be a lot to take in. Unlike a lot of our other boss rooms, that's all I had for notes for this. I want this to be a free-form discussion. I'm going to talk about the cost of game development. We don't have a game developer with us, unfortunately, to talk about the actual cost of game development, but I'm going to talk about just, we hear the numbers, right? We hear this game costs hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think Red Dead Redemption 2 costs like between $300 and $500 million to make.
I should message my cousin. He worked on it. I'd be like, how much did it cost to make? And he would know. Let's talk about the cost of game development, though, because the idea is the head of Capcom, a company which up until this point was definitely a darling in the industry for all the wonderful games they're putting out, has said games should cost more. And this argument comes up once every couple of years. In fact, I'm pretty sure a couple of years ago on our very podcast, we talked about this. Don't go back and listen to it. Those episodes are bad. But it's this idea that games are consistently $60 to $70. Recently, games have moved up to the $70 bracket. And now we have heads of companies saying, oh, hey, you need to pay even more for this. And I'm going to put some perspective on this. When I was a kid, one of the games that I saved up for all summer was Super Street Fighter II for the Sega Genesis.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it was a $70 game. Back in the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, that is it was like $14
that's
a day.
That's an expensive game.
Yeah.
But does game cost need to go up or does budget to make game need to go down is probably the more accurate conversation to be having right now.
I think video games need to decide what the fuck they are. Look, if I'm watching a girl walks home alone at night in the theater. My ticket was to pick a round number, $10.
Sure.
If I'm watching Avatar, The Way of Water, my ticket to get in the movie to use a round number was $10.
Yep.
One of them probably costs less than $100,000 to make.
Mm-hmm.
One of them costs about, I don't know, like a, somewhere just under $1 billion to make.
Mm-hmm.
One of them made many, many, many times its budget back. One of them only two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, one of them made, you know, like $200,000 to $300,000, and one of them made $3 billion. So the idea, what he said was popular games will continue to sell well. The problem is, like, is a video game a movie or is a video game like a fine dining restaurant or a museum exhibit where you would need to pay more the rarer it is and the more it costs to produce and the more trouble that it took to make it? And they just need to figure that out. Look, if a studio like CDPR took all of the time in the world to make something like Cyberpunk 2077, and it came out when it launched in the state that it is today, you know, with all the DLC, no nickel and diming, no nothing, just the game, and here's the game, and here's where we are. And they were like, this game, because of the time and effort and cost it took us to make it, and the fact that it took us even longer because we didn't crunch and our employees have lives and everything went well, this game is going to be $150. That's the price of entry. That's your ticket to get in the door. Mm-hmm. Like if you were going to see, you know, a really popular show in Vegas, it's like this ticket costs extra because it's going to be popular and it took a lot to make.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fine with me.
Sure.
Honestly, if games decided to just set their own price and not every game, every AAA game is $60, because a AAA game varies wildly in quality between something like Fallout 76 and God of War Ragnarok, like or fucking The Last of Us Part 2. Like, these games were both $70, and think about what you got for either. So yeah, like they just need to figure out what they're doing. If a game company just had the balls to say we set our the gumption to say we set our price based on how hard it was to make, and they charged a much larger price or a much lower price, that'd be fine. And you know what industry is already doing that? Fucking video games. It's just the indies. The indies are like, you know what? My indie game is 8-bit and 2D, and it was made by two people or one guy who knows how to program slot machines. It's $3. And if he sells 3 million copies, he can still fucking retire. He still never has to work again.
Specifically, we were talking about Vampire Survivors.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is one of the best games ever.
Yeah.
Like $3 to buy it.
$3. Best $3 I ever spent on Steam.
I bought it multiple times on multiple platforms.
Yeah, like, because it's easy. Because it's $3.
Yep.
This is a great idea. Because he got $6 to $9 out of James. And that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one guy made the game.
Mm-hmm.
If a team like Team Cherry makes a game like Hollow Knight and the upcoming Silksong, whenever that comes out, makes a game that big and sells it for $20, more power to them. If a slightly larger indie company makes a Souls-like and wants to charge $40, more power to them. I don't know why this only works for indie developers, but it works very well. If I look at a game and say, like, yeah, I'd pay $40 for that. That's a good thing. And if I looked at a game like God of War Ragnarok and they were like, this one's $100, I'd be like, yep, that scans. That scans.
I want to talk about a different side of it. So what I want to talk about is physical media. And I know that some of our listeners are going to get real hairy about this
one. You're going to be like, how old are you? What's physical media?
So when a video game comes out, regardless of how you purchase it, it tends to be, let's say, between $60 and $70. Now, that price point is set whether or not you have it downloaded directly to your PlayStation 5 or whether you walk across the street to your local GameStop. Also, why do you live across the street from a GameStop? But it happens. You can go down there, hand them $70, and they hand you a physical product with a case and a disc that had to be printed and say, this is the worth of $70 because there is a game, there is a case, there is a CD.
They're yours forever.
I also pay that same amount because I'm lazy and don't want to go to a fucking GameStop, and I buy a digital version of it, and they don't have to account for printing costs for that. They just have to account for bandwidth, which, by the way, has gotten so much cheaper than when we were first introduced to it in tech.
Oh, yeah.
Way cheaper.
Yep. They don't have to worry about running out of media. They don't have to worry about inventory shortages of any kind, from like a disc maker to a plastics provider to just like, you know, a ship getting stuck sideways in the Suez Canal. They don't have to worry about any of that. It's just over the internet. It's much less risk. And for some reason, when this major shift happened in the industry, game prices didn't go down.
No. When we moved to a more digital model in video games, people just said, eh, all right, I guess I'm just going to pay between $60 and $70 for the digital version too.
Yeah.
Nobody lashed out and said, oh, well, we need to be paying less because it's only being delivered to us digitally.
Right.
So when you when the head of Capcom says, oh, well, games need to make more money, They technically are.
They are. They absolutely are.
I guarantee
are.
You, if you look at the numbers, and I don't have Capcom's numbers in front of me, but I guarantee you, like, they probably sold more versions of Resident Evil 4 digitally than they did physical fucking copies of the fucking game.
Yeah.
You know what? People are excited to buy a physical copy of fucking Spider-Man 2 because they are literally advertising that you get to purchase 19 inches of Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to let you think about that one for a second. That's just for all my monster fuckers out there. 19 inches of Venom you get to purchase for that amount of money. And mm-hmm. it sold out in like minutes. Yep. And I guarantee, I don't even know if they even said that it's going to come with a physical disc.
You're no, literally it gonna, absolutely
it,
does
it
not.
Comes with a case.
That game would never fit on a physical yeah, disc. It's probably 100 yeah, gigs.
It comes with a case like for a fake CD, but it's going to have a code on it.
Yeah. I would be astonished if they still had the little imprint for a disc in the case.
Right.
It'd be like, why even?
Right. Like, the fact that Square Enix, and I know that we've been fucking beating this dead horse, but the fact that Square Enix is just like, Final Fantasy VII Part 2 is coming out on two discs.
What does that even
why?
Mean?
Why?
Like, what,
why?
Are you saying
that? Why is your compression so bad that your video game needs to be on two fucking Blu-rays? Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah, what was the, yeah, but even still, like, two Blu-rays is still like 40 gigs. That's not big enough for a normal right. video game.
Yeah, I'm pretty
not
sure
a
you're
AAA video
you're
game.
Probably still downloading the rest of the fucking game at that point.
Oh, you were downloading the entire game. That game could never spin on the disc and run well, ever. They push files to the hard drive and they run off the hard drive because it's an M.2, not a disc that spins slower than a disc hard drive.
This is not a new concept. I fucking installed Metal Gear Solid, what was it, 4 on my PlayStation 3,
yep.
And it was like, all right, I put the disc in, and I went, cool, so here's Snake smoking a cigarette, and he's going to do this for the next hour while we download and install this game.
Yeah, so I'm going to need you to go outside and smoke exactly as many cigarettes as Solid Snake right
and
now.
And I probably did, because I was a smoker at the time. Like, holy fucking shit. Like, it just makes no sense to me. So, like, I hear somebody... And I want to get dark for a second. And I apologize. I'm normally the lighthearted one on the show. Hector is the darker one when it comes to these kind of topics. But we are right now in a time where a lot of CEOs are saying a lot of things about needing to make more money.
Yeah.
And a lot of people under them are losing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have people like the heads of Capcom and the heads of Unity saying, well, we need to nickel and dime people more because our shareholders deserve to have that money. Meanwhile, and we didn't put this in the news this week, but multiple video game studios have just been letting go of entire divisions. Epic Games.
The company in charge of Fortnite.
In charge of fucking Fortnite.
Literally the most money-making thing. Unseated Call of Duty to be the most money-making video game in existence. I might be wrong. Grand Theft Auto 5 Online might make more money, but I think it might
We don't
close.
Have the numbers in front of us.
I'm not
but like,
sure. But they also own the Unreal Engine. How does this company need financially to lay off 900 people? What the fuck? Like that ruins entire economies of towns, of groups of people. What the fuck? How do you justify something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Yeah. How does a company like Unity make the decisions that it's made, make the announcements that it does, and the people who have stock in the company just freely got to sell that stock right before this announcement that everybody knew was going to tank the company?
Oh, yeah. And the argument that it's not insider trading was, well, we scheduled those trades months in advance. Yeah, probably around the exact same time you scheduled when you were going to announce the bullshit that was going to tank your company. Right. How does that fucking exonerate you?
Oh, how no, is that not insider trading?
The crime we did, we planned it months ago, therefore not crime. Right? I planned that bank robbery like a year ago.
Yep.
Yeah, no. I didn't premeditate my bank robbery.
So what I was trying to get to with all this, when we talk about the cost of game development, I do want game developers to get paid more. I do want cheaper made games.
Oh yeah.
By people that get to have as much time off as they want.
Yeah.
Like
I want fewer, worse looking games made by people with full benefits and time off. I'm not fucking kidding. Even make them more expensive.
Yep.
I'm going to stick to this point that I made earlier. I think if Cyberpunk thought it was allowed to charge $100-$150 mm-hmm. for the experience, they would have just made it fucking right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe just do that.
Yeah.
And just have some fucking belief mm-hmm. in your product, mm-hmm. in what you're making? Because some of these projects, some very, very good projects that came out this year and many years before it, I would have paid a lot more money
for. I want to bring up a very interesting one. I wanted to go back to the 360 PS3 era. There was a game, and Lord, it should have been, they should have charged more for it. The Deadpool video game.
Oh, yeah.
It was a AA title that came out, and they knew what the fuck it was. They said $40. This is a $40 game.
Yeah.
And people bought it in droves. Mm-hmm. And after everybody got done playing it, a lot of people's opinion was, I would have paid more for that.
Yeah,
that right? game was fucking good.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, no one, like they didn't advertise it because advertising is very expensive. So they're like, oh, we're going to have to send it out at a budget price.
Yep.
And everyone played it. It was like, man, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to talking about the cost of video games, I don't think I'm alone in saying, when somebody's saying the cost of video games should be altered, when it's the head of a company, when it's the CEO of a company like Capcom, that shit rubs me the wrong way.
Absolutely. The blanket statement that, like, games need to cost more because they cost more to make.
Make cheaper games.
Yeah. I believe Stephanie Sterling made the point, no one's making you make games that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You chose to do that. And you chose the pricing model. So games don't need... If you want to charge more for your game, fucking do that.
Mm-hmm. You can quote me on this one. Because the big argument that all the CEOs are making about this thing, and please, for the love of God, quote me on this. They all say, well, if you're adjusting for the cost of inflation, you know, it's important that games are charged more. Bitch, the inflation is coming from inside the house.
Yeah. 40% CEO raises. Oh, inflation. You know, fuck, man.
My fucking vacation to Cabo is CEO.
Yeah.
Fucking inflation.
Fucking Bobby Kotick making something fucking $40 million a year or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
It's my decision as CEO that I've got to stop an entire game development session so that our company can put out a shitty demo or trailer to fucking air at E3. That's an inflation cost that shouldn't fucking be there.
No shit, man. Yeah. It absolutely rubs me the wrong way when CEOs talk like this because it feels so disconnected with the reality of the industry they are supposed to be masters of.
Yes.
Like,
meanwhile, people that are saying, like, oh, games should cost more because of the bottom line of our shareholders are people like Bobby fucking Kotick,
yeah.
who are letting literally the people who work at Activision Blizzard starve because they have to choose between either having a place to rent nearby where their company is or eating in the literal company cafeteria. The fact that people at Blizzard can't afford to eat in the company cafeteria because they are living out of their fucking cars
yeah.
because they don't make enough to live in the area that they work in. What the fuck?
Yeah, this is how you get bad video games. And you know how you get good video games? We said it earlier. You let your people have lives. You let them work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a bunch of great pandemic games that come out a few years later. You know...
You let them create games where you can just fuck vampires.
Yeah. Man, just that all the money's in all the wrong places, I think, in Absolutely. This industry. But and then you have great examples like Supergiant, who will make something like Hades
mm-hmm.
and be like, yeah, we absolutely force you to not work on weekends and you must take your vacation.
Yep.
And email is literally turned off on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And we absolutely do not crunch. And we release the game when we feel like it's fucking mm-hmm. done.
We put it out in early access so that like our fans yeah. that really, and really want
to
try it. Because it
gives us the opportunity to listen to our fans about what they want. And we have a very, we have an amazing list of people here in the credits of the game when we released 1.0
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the people who bought it beforehand and helped us test it and gave us feedback
mm-hmm.
because that makes good video games. How is this not what everyone is doing?
It's true.
Imagine if fucking Starfield had done that.
Oh, right.
Imagine what kind of game that would be.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's everything that we have for the show this week. I know that was a really intense boss room, but we are very, very passionate about this particular subject. Don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg to become a patron of our show. You can head over to facebook.com/GNGGcast where you can chat with us, as well as at GNGGcast on Twitter/X to talk to me directly. But until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And good game.